السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, we are discussing the different kinds of fitnas, and I explained that the literal meaning of fitna is a test. However, this meaning afterwards was extended to those things which become the means of tests. And then even the murders, the killings, the earthquakes, the tremors, the fights, the arguments, the quarrels, all became referred to as fitnas. So different kinds of fitnas. When we talk about different kinds of fitnas, it covers all these different aspects. Last week we were discussing the fitna of show or riya, but I'm leaving out that for the time being. We will discuss that in detail again, because it's a very important subject. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has declared riya a shirk khafi, minor shirk, and there's so much that can be discussed. But if we have to just discuss that one aspect, then we will go on and on. But let us now look at, we will come in later to it again, but let us look at another fitna that Hazrat Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayh discussed, and that is the fitna of a person in his family, fi ahlihi. Now this fitna also is a major fitna, and especially at present, I mean, it is no secret, there is no lack of or shortage of evidence. If we look in our own homes, our own families, our own friends and society, then we will see abundance of this fitna, and that is the fights and the arguments and the quarrels that go on between husbands and wives. And not only between husbands and wives, but it covers all aspects of the home, whoever resides within the home. And even if they don't live within the home, but the extended family, wherever they may be, are all covered in this fitna. That is fights between parents and children, fights between students and teachers, fights between daughters and mothers, arguments and fights, even between sheikhs and the murids. This fitna is gone so far now that even the sheikh and the murid, sheikh has got no trust on the murid, murid got no trust on the sheikh. The ustad has got no faith and confidence and trust on the student, and the student has got no faith and trust and confidence on the ustad. The student will sit in his majlis and talk all evil about the ustad, and the ustad will sit and talk about the student. This fitna has become worldwide. It is a major fitna, but especially that fitna within the home. It is such a fitna which destroys the happiness, the peace, the tranquility that a person normally enjoys within the home. That person will never enjoy peace within his own home. He will enjoy it in some hotel. He will enjoy it with some friends outside. He will enjoy that peace and a little bit of satisfaction in some touring with his friends, or going somewhere else outside the house watching sport or something else. But within his home, which was supposed to be his jannat, he will find that home has become hellfire. That he will never find peace and comfort within there. Therefore, shaitan, when people come, all his chelas and all his agents come and report to him that I made this person commit this sin, I made this person commit that sin, I made this person commit that sin. According to the hadith, he spreads his throne over the sea. So at that time, he congratulates everybody. But when the person comes and says that I created a division between husband and wife, then he really hugs him and he says that you did the ideal thing. Because the fights and arguments between husband and wife do not end within the home. It doesn't end just between the husband and wife. That argument will then come into the children. Then the children will get involved. then the families will get involved, and sometimes even societies and nations get involved. In the past, fights between nations was over feuds that took place within the home. So this is something that goes on and on and on, and it's a big fitna. Now, why is it happening? Of course, there are many, many causes. But one of the major causes is that when we displease Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala puts a kind of hatred into the hearts of the husband for the wife, in the heart of the wife for the husband, into the hearts of the children for the parents, into the parents' heart for the children. We must look at our lives, where have we gone wrong? Because the moment we displease Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the first azab starts from within the person's own life and then within his home. That is where the arguments and the quarrels begin. I had a call from a sister from some other province, and she was talking about the divorce that was coming up because of the problems between the husband and wife. But when she was discussing that, then probably she must have heard my talk over Radio Islam or on the tape or something like that. So she says, I know you will ask me just now, that do you have TV in the home and do you watch all the soaps and movies? He said, I know you'll ask me just now, so I'd rather tell you before you ask me, yes, I do have, but what else must I do when I'm depressed? What else must I do? So till late night, what else must I do if I'm not going to watch? So now how are you going to cure the problem? The person has got a tumor in the brains, and the person now wants to cure that by taking poison. So he's not going to be able to cure it. The damage has taken place by taking mandrax. The damage to the brains and to the body has taken place by taking mandrax. And now you want to cure it by taking cocaine. Then do you think it's going to help? Or if najasat has fallen on the clothes, urine, stool, or stool has soiled the clothes and garment of someone, now he wants to wash it with urine and make it park. So it's not going to happen. The problems will increase until it will lead to that disaster in court. So this is the thing that happens, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then puts that hatred. It comes from above. Love of a person comes from above, and hatred of a person also comes from above. The disunity, the quarrels all come from above. Either the husband is not obeying Allah ta'ala or the wife is not obeying. The consequences, both of them will have to suffer. But there is some problem in somebody's life there. Of course, that argument, then why should the wife suffer if the husband is disobedient? Or why should the husband suffer if the wife is disobedient? Then that I have explained in some other majlis also. It is just like that issue of talaq. That they say that if the husband gives his wife 3 talaqs, then he cannot live with her anymore. It is talaq-e-mughallaza. But now the wife will suffer, the children will suffer, and all will suffer. Indeed, they will suffer. But they will get the rewards in the akhirah too, and they will get it in this world too for the sabr that they will exercise. But in a court of law, nobody has till now said that because the person has got wife and children, so if he has committed murder, he must be freed. Anyone who has got wife and children, he must be freed because he committed the murder. Now, if a person is faking his own hijacking and things like that, and if he's going to be arrested, now who is going to suffer? The wife and children are going to suffer. What? Although they are going to suffer, nobody listens to that argument that because the person has got wife and children, why should they suffer? They didn't commit that kind of crime. So just as we accept it there, we must accept it here too. That the punishment is for somebody that's in that home. But sometimes, or most of the times, both are parties to that crime. That the wife too has displeased Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to a considerable extent in other aspects of her life. Like in this case now, she's saying that, well, what must I do? If I'm depressed, then I must watch all the filth that is coming up there. So how do you expect rahmat of Allah ta'ala then to come, which will bring about that unity? Nigahe aqreba badli mizaj dostan badla. Mizaj aqreba badli. Nigahe aqreba badli mizaj dostan badla. Nazar ek unki kya badli ke kul sara jahan badla. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala turns away his glance of rahmat and mercy, then after that there will be disobedience of the children, there will be husband and wife quarrels and arguments, people will start complaining of their uncles and aunts and nieces and nephews, that everybody is ignoring me and they're snubbing me, and these people have stolen my property, and these people have taken the power of attorney and and wiped me clean, all kinds of things will start. If we displease Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then we will find friends and relatives and family members and all, they will turn away from this person. So pleasing of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the only solution to the problem. And because we are weak, we are human beings, we are weak. And we are so weak that we make tawbah now and we go outside, then we will break it. But even then, there should be no justification of any sin. And the person, if he is committing a sin too, he must curse himself. He must say that, "Oh Allah, I know that I am nalayak, I am badkar and siyakar and gunegar. Oh Allah, I know this is wrong what I am doing. I know it's haram. But nafs and shaitan have made me their slaves. But I want to come out of it, but I find myself very weak. You give me the strength to come out of it." If he carries on like that, then inshallah one day Allah Ta'ala will give him the tawfiq and he will come out. Like if a person just cannot resist the temptation of shaving his beard, then every time he's rubbing the machine on his face, he must say that, "Oh Allah, what a namak haram I am. That Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sacrificed so much for me. His blood was shed for me. His tears were shed for me. But I don't seem to like his face. I do not seem to like his shaklo surat. Oh Allah, but I acknowledge that it is my weakness, it is my sin. I do not want to face him on the day of Qiyamah like his enemies. So you give me the tawfiq to keep my beard." Now if he's going to keep saying that every time, then inshallah one day he will get the tawfiq. So that at least on the day of Qiyamah he can say, "Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Haqeeqat isko tu kar de main surat leke aaya hoon." So at least the person can say that. So this is the cause of those fitnas within the home, that it is disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now you had heard that when the person is disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and when he has got this fitna now within himself, then the first thing is that he does not enjoy anymore the halawat of the ta'at. He doesn't get any enjoyment in his namaz, in his zikr, in his tilawat, in his tasbihat, in his fasting, in his hajj, in his zakat, there's nothing. It becomes all mechanical, that he has to fulfill a duty. And the heart becomes very hard. So when the heart becomes hard, there are two relationships. One is the relationship with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and in the relationship with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is that he does not enjoy the halawat in his ta'at, in his ibadat, etc. And the effect of that hard heart in his relationship with the people is this now, that this person becomes an animal. He becomes an animal inside the house. He becomes an animal inside within the society. And then after that, if he commits murder, if he has to shoot his innocent children, if he has to shoot his wife, if he has to devour somebody's property, if he has to behave like a lion or a tiger, it means nothing, because this person's heart has become hard. When we read certain incidents in newspapers of the kinds of murders and killings that take place of innocent children by the burglars and by the hijackers and by the murderers and killers, then we just wonder whether we are reading the history of a human being or we're reading the history of some cheetah from the jungle or some beast, as Maulana says. We really think that this couldn't be a human being. So that is the effect of that hard heart. And we thought that this was only with the disbelievers and the non-Muslims and those people who did not have any yaqeen and faith in Jannat and Akhirat. But if we have to look at the world condition, then we know that this is actually happening now in Muslim families. In Muslim families, when Muslims are going to rape 3-year-old and 4-year-old children, then what else are you going to expect? So these are fitnas which have come via this media, this television and this filthy novels and magazines have made the heart hard. That means now when the person indulges in sins, it does not seem to have any effect. He has become immune. It becomes like a norm of the society. We just accept it. Now if we read in the newspapers or if we see those filthy photographs, then we will have a second look at it. And we won't even think of tearing them up and throwing it away from those pages. Why? Because it is a norm now. It has become an accepted thing in our home and in our society. So the children will watch it, the parents will watch it, and everybody will watch it. And on the television also, everybody will see everything that comes there. In fact, that person will be like a monkey and a stupid and a fool if he has to object to any of these things. They will say that he's orthodox. So this is the fitna that has come. And what has it caused? It has caused such restlessness, that hardly a family is free of these arguments and quarrels and fights. Hardly a family. How many homes can they really say that it's really peaceful, it's happiness? When we go in there, we find comfort, we find our mind relaxed, and we look forward to returning home. Because after we are tired in the bazaar and in the shops and in our factories and industries, then we look forward to returning home, we will find peace. So many of them are not returning home early. Why? Because if they return home, the children are at loggerheads, there is fights and arguments between the children and the mother, or the mother and the husband, the mother and the father. Now the whole house, there is no peace and no happiness. Wallah, I'm telling you, there are so many girls, young girls, who are not prepared to get married now. They don't want to get married. And when we ask them, but why don't you want to get married? There's a good proposal, why don't you accept? They say, from what I have seen in my home, the fight between my mother and father, sometimes even the knife is pulled out, and sometimes the trigger is put at the head. He says, it's too frightening. I do not wish to go through that kind of a setup. Wallah, I'm telling you, in the masjid, this is what some of them have written. Some of them are writing that it is that I'm quite happy now that my father is gone. So this is the fitna. If these fitnas have come, and yet we are not prepared to give up those sins of our lives. But we want peace. All of us want peace and happiness. So for that, Hazrat Hafiz Shirazi Rahmatullah Alayh, he has mentioned one very beautiful thing. And he says that this, that everybody wants that the day that follows must be a day that is better than the previous day. Everybody wants that. All of us want that tomorrow must be a better day than today. Who wants a bad day tomorrow? Ye kya shor o ghoga hai jo zamane mein dekh raha hoon, chunache tamam jahan ko fitna wa shar se bara hua dekh raha hoon. He says, what I am seeing all around is nothing but fitnas all around. Everywhere there is nothing but fitnas. Zamane mein har shakhs yahi chahta hai ke din behtar se behtar aave. I'm giving you the translation of his poetry. And everybody wants that the day that follows must be a better day. Lekin mushkil yeh hai ke main to har aane wale din ko guzishta din se badtar dekh raha hoon. I am finding every day that follows worse than the one that has already gone by. Halat yeh hai ke ladkiyon ki maa ke saath ladai thani hai. Aur ladkon ko apne baap ka badkha dekh raha hoon. He says, I can see that now even the girls who were normally obedient to their mothers, but that alamat of qiyamat which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned, and talid al amat wa rabbataha, says, I am seeing that even the girls have become disobedient to their mothers. And there's so much of fights and so much of arguments. So many mothers are saying that our daughters, they actually beat us up. An elderly woman phoned, she says, my daughter beats me up. Now, where did you hear of this type of things? Bye, and he says, I am seeing that the sons, they too do not want to see the father anymore. Sons don't want to see the father anymore. Barra sadiqahu wa jafaa abah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, one of the signs of qiyamah is this, that with the friends they will be so good, they will give them gifts, they will entertain them, and you'll find smile on their faces, why my friend has come. There's no doubt, if the friend comes, you entertain him, you feed him, and you smile and talk to him. But the father, he says, after that, if you have to look at his relationship with his father, then they will do injustice to the father. No doubt, sometimes the father in anger might have said something, but now does that mean that now after that the person must have no relationship with that father? So this is another fitna. So he said, this is what I am seeing. Bhai mein koi raham baqi nahi reh gaya hai. Says, as far as brothers are concerned, there's no mercy left, no sympathy, no feeling, no care at all. Whether that brother died or is living through, sometimes they don't know. And there are so many people whose brothers are overseas for a number of years, and the brother does not even know where he is, how many children he has got, and whether he is still living or died. No concern at all. They say, no, well, he broke up relationship when he went away. So that's the end of brotherly relationships. Isi tarah se baap ko bhi ladke par koi shafqat baqi nahi. And even the baaps and the fathers, they've got no shafqat and muhabbat and affection left for the sons or for the children. only if the children earn and bring some money, then the children are very good. But if the children are disobedient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then there's no anger at all. Nothing. The anger is only when they are disobedient to the father or the mother for worldly reasons. But when they are disobedient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, at that time there is no concern at all. The real shafqat and the true muhabbat of the children was this, that qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourselves and save your family from the fire of Jahannam. So when the person had that kind of concern for his children, then it showed that he had real love for those children, because he doesn't want to see his children heading for hellfire. If the father made the right effort, and thereafter still those children did not come on track, and they were so much influenced by the outside environment, that in spite of the father's effort and the mother's effort, they went on to wrong lines. Like one girl, the parents did their best, they educated her, they sent her to a Muslim school, and everything they did. But after she left, she got involved with one of the neighbors, non-Muslim neighbors, and now she says that even if it means I have to become Hindu, it doesn't matter. But I'm going to marry him. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. Allahumma hafazna bih. So now we are not going to blame those parents for that, because they did whatever had to be done. So these are exceptions, but I'm talking about the general rule. What is happening in the society, if we only know, we would wish what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions in one hadith sharif, that a person will pass by a grave and then he will come back again to that grave, and then he will say that I wish, ya laytani kuntu makana sahib hazal qabr, I wish I was in place of this person that is in the grave here. But then he says that this is not because of his deen that he wish he was there in that grave. It's not because of his deen that he's looking at so much of fitnas around, and he's looking at the difficulty that he's having in making amal on Islam or to restrain himself from haram because of the environment. So now he wishes that he was gone so that he is not tested. It's not because of his deen. It's because of the bala that he now finds himself in. That means now it has reached that stage or that limit where he cannot take it anymore. First he disobeyed Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in every aspect of his life. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to kept giving him a long rope, carry on, how far can you go? فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. This ayat, whenever I read it, shakes the heart up. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. You've heard this before too in some majlis, but it just came now again in my mind. That فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. All that nasihat, those advices of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, all the incidents of the nations of the past that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, everything, when they forgot those nasihats that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given, then Allah Ta'ala did not after that tighten further. He first sent some azab, some shake up, some tremor here, some flood waters there, some gale force wind there, so that they get up and they take nasihat from what has happened. But when they refuse to take any nasihat and lesson from what had happened, then Allah Ta'ala opens the doors of everything. Everything now, all the things start flooding, plenty of wealth comes in, good, better home than before. Now the person gets, he gets better clothes than before, and the person gets better transport than before. Before he had one small black and white portable TV, now he's able to afford a huge, big cinema screen size one. Everything now the person starts getting more and more. Hatta iza farihu bima utu. Now what happens, the person, I'm just giving you an explanation. Now he's really enjoying those so-called ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, which was in a disguised form. It was azab of Allah, but it was coming in a disguised form. Now the person believed that if my Allah was displeased with me, then why is he giving me so much? I'm becoming multi-millionaire. Before I didn't even have transport. So now the person gets this impression that my Allah must be pleased with me. So he begins to enjoy those evil pleasures and entertainment and fun. Now he starts going to those haram places, starts going to the casinos, gambling dens, to the cinemas, to the theaters, he brings more and more porn movies into the house and all. When he's in the midst of his enjoyment, suddenly Allah Ta'ala says, we call them to account. And then they are thrown into complete bewilderment. Nobody knew 2 seconds before that earthquake that what was going to happen 2 seconds later. Turkey, the same thing. In our country, when it burned across our borders, all those homes and businesses burned. 2 minutes before that, nobody knew what was going to happen. And all over the world, it is the same thing, even in South Africa. How many times we have gone through this type of problems. But every time that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes away that balaf for a little while, then again we go into our own slumber and sleep. So this is what he says, that I am seeing that there is no affection and love left. The Arab horse is being used for plowing. The Arab horse, which was for riding, he says now that is being used for plowing. The plow is put on the neck of the Arab horse. And the mule necklace of gold is put around the neck of the mule and the donkey. So that is what is happening in the world. In fact, Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Alayh, I have done the other one where he says, "Ay nayi roshni tera muh ho kala." Oh, you modern civilization, may your face turn black. Andar se andhera hai bahar ujala. Inside your heart there's nothing but darkness. Outside you are seeing glitter and glamour, 50-story building and 120-story building, and you are seeing all kinds of cinemas and theaters and stadiums and all kinds of buildings springing up and beautiful parks. There's so much of shine and glitter and glamour outside, and even in your clothes and your homes and your cars and everything. But he says inside there's nothing but darkness. Outside you are seeing plenty of light. But he says now, describing the condition of the families within the homes, you say, what is happening within the homes? What is a fitna? What is that fitna that has come and what it has done? Jo ab hal duniya hai na guftani hai, jo ab rang alam hai na deedni hai. Jo ab hal duniya hai na guftani hai, jo ab rang alam hai na deedni hai. Jo din raat ghar mein ladai thani hai, na poocho sabab uska na guftani hai. Jo din raat ghar mein ladai thani hai, na poocho sabab uska na guftani hai. Ye tehzeeb nau hai nayi roshni hai. So this is the nayi roshni, the new light, the modern civilization. Jo ab hal duniya hai na guftani hai. You can't even talk about what is happening. Who does not know what is happening in the world today? And the speed with which the evil is moving. Who does not know the speed with which evil is moving? The efforts of deen, the effort of sharia, and the efforts of the khanqas and of the jamaat and of the ulama and the mashayikh and the madrasas and the darul ulums and the masajid is nothing in comparison with the speed with which evil is moving throughout the world. The worst of evil in America, within seconds throughout the world, and it catches on as a fashion and as a trend. And who is caught? The ignorant Muslim is caught. He too is caught. And the worst part of it is that they don't even consider that as evil. That is the difficulty. You only try to come out of an evil if you regard it as an evil, if you consider it as an evil. But if we don't consider it as evil, how are we going to even make tawbah from the evil? So he says, "Jo ab hal dunya hai na guftani hai," not even worth talking about. It's not, you can't bring it on your tongue and your lips. "Jo ab rang alam hai na deedni hai," and the conditions of that are prevalent throughout the world, you cannot even see it anymore with your eyes. We cannot see it anymore with our eyes. The person who has got iman, the time will come when it will be like the person who is holding burning ash in his hand. How difficult that is. That is how it is going to be for the person to stay steadfast on his iman. The statements which people are uttering, the statements which they are blurting. Just day before yesterday, the woman says that as far as I am concerned, more protection is for us in the South African constitution than the Quran Sharif. Now is this woman a Muslim anymore? Wow. Is she a Muslim anymore? What fatwa will a person give? Who says that no, the South African constitution is better than the Quran Sharif's constitution? Now what has happened with regard on account of that statement, that is what we have to look at. That on account of that statement, she has become out of the pale of Islam. It's kufr. No mufti in the world will consider that statement as anything other than kufr. And because of that, the marriage has terminated. The marriage has terminated. If she reads the kalima again, takes the shahada, and then the nikah is performed, then they are husband and wife. But nobody does that. So what will happen now? There will be a haram relationship between this woman and her so-called husband, who is no more a husband. It's a fitna. I've just given you one example of day before yesterday. But these are things which are so common. We listen to it so much times that we get heart attacks. Where are we heading for? So now the marriage has ended and terminated. They are no more husband and wife. Now if they are going to live together, you think there's going to be happiness? When they are going to have problems now, we say, where are these problems coming from? Why is it that we're trying reconciliation? Every time the parents are making an effort, family is making effort, jamiats are making effort, but nothing, no reconciliation. How can there be a reconciliation when that person's marriage has terminated and ended? How much we must guard this piece of flesh. So he says, "Jo ab rangi alam hai na deedni hai." We can't even see what is happening. What kinds of films are being shown? What kinds of fitnas are entering our homes? "Jo din raat ghar mein ladai thani hai, na poocho sabab uska na guftani hai." This constant fight and bickering and arguments that are taking place between husband and wife. So the reason for that is not something that we can bring onto our tongues, why it is coming about. Like for example, I gave you this example, that now if this husband and wife fights and arguments, it's because there's no marriage left there. It has terminated long ago. And how many people have made statements like that? How many of them? Ye tehzeeb nau hai nayi roshni hai. This is the new civilization, unfortunately, which we Muslims are also following blindly. We are unconcerned where we are going, where our children are going, where our families are going. So many people, again I'm in the masjid, I can't speak lies in the masjid. At least you will believe that. So many people are dreaming recently of the Quran Sharif on the beachfront. People trampling over the Quran Sharif and going past. Somebody dreamt that Yasin Sharif is right there on the beachfront there, and the ladies and the women and the men in the semi-nakedness and nakedness, they are all around and they are trampling over the Quran Sharif and over the Yasin Sharif and going past. And so many other dreams of Qiyamah signs. Now what other tabir are you going to give? Yasin is the heart of the Quran Sharif. It means that we are trampling upon the heart of the Quran Sharif. I am not saying that it is haram to go and swim or to go to the beachfront. But not when there is so much of nakedness around there and we go and sit right in between there. Yes, go at some quiet time and go to in such areas, or if you have got that kind of iman and taqwa, then you walk past there with your gazes lowered, then well and good. Otherwise it is not advisable for a person to keep a flat right in front of the beach where so many women and naked people are swimming there. Because that person, if he's got a little bit of taqwa, how much of taqwa does his wife and children have? And even his taqwa, after a few days you will find that it has vanished and evaporated. Fitnas are coming from all sides. Again, I repeat, I'm not saying that it is not jais. I've gone with my own sheikh in England. We went to one camp, which was very close to the beachfront. But what taqwa he had, that we never saw him raise his gaze. And then in that cottage also, he says, is hotel ke kamre mein pata nahi kitne logo ne zina kiya hoga, kya kya kiya hoga. To aaj hum yahan baith kar ke zikrullah karenge aur Allah ko yaad karenge, taaki qiyamah ke din kam se kam ye gawahi de ke aise ilaqe mein aur aisi jagah mein ke jahan par fawaishat aur munkarat ka shuyu tha, wahan par kuch Allah ke bandon ne apni nigah neechi karke wahan par zikrullah kiya. That was the gist of his this. So now do we have that kind of taqwa? That on a 17-hour flight, he didn't even raise his gaze for the second time and look at the air hostess. he had his gaze lowered and asked whatever had to be asked. And we are coming from Hajj and we will keep on looking at their faces. So when the heart is gone, then where will Allah Ta'ala come? The heart is the home of Allah Ta'ala. It is only the heart which can accommodate Allah Ta'ala's tajalli. But if we have given the heart away to so many different things, and haram things, so where do we expect the tajalli of Allah Ta'ala to come? That means that our hearts have become what Hazrat always says, that if you have to get a guest and if you have to put him up in a room in which there are dead cats and rats and dogs and pigs, then you think that guest will like to sleep in, or if there's a corpse also there, and tell him that no, we've got a nice room for you, we've got a few corpses there. You think that person will sleep there? He will disappear faster than he came, and every little while he thinks somebody is strangling his throat. So if we do not accommodate guests and no guest will sleep in a room like that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with his glory, with his sifat kamalia, you think Allah ta'ala's tajalli, which when it fell on the Qur, then it shattered to smithereens, you think that this heart will then accommodate that? So he says, ye tehzeeb nau hai nayi roshni hai. This is the new civilization. When I was in Moy River years ago, one person arrived from England, a white person. He came to buy something at the shop there, and I was there. Somebody introduced me and said that this is so-and-so and is our priest and all that, so we still got into a discussion. So he says, I've migrated, I'm in England, I'm coming after 11 years. My son lives in Hawick, but I can't go and visit him too. I have to make an appointment with him. Now he has given me an appointment for tomorrow. So I'm here for the past 3 days, but I'm waiting for the appointment to meet my son at his house tomorrow. Is this tehzeeb? What we are following so blindly? Or like in England, in the car there was a dog on the left hand side and this person was driving. So he had that lollipop. So he sucks, then he gives the dog to suck. Then he sucks, he gives the dog to suck. Now this tehzeeb, Hazrat says this tehzeeb, which we are following so blindly. So let us realize that our lives are not what Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam expect of us. And as a result, we are suffering all these type of problems. And then when this becomes widespread, then even the good people also have to suffer. In this world, they also have to suffer. It's not that the sun will only shine on the heads of the pious and won't shine on the heads of the evil ones. Or the water, if the good ones drink it, it'll be water. And if the evil ones drink it, it's going to be blood, like it happened in the Bani Israel time. It's not going to be that. In this world, everybody will have to suffer the consequences. It's just that Allah Ta'ala will still give sukoon in the hearts of the Ahlullah and the pious and the righteous one, that you won't find them so restless and full of anxiety and worries. Then on the Qiyamah day, Wamtazul Yawma Ayyuhal Mujrimun will take place. So he says, Ye tehzeeb nau hai nayi roshni hai. Bazaahir bani hai, ba baatin thani hai, ba lab dosti hai, ba dil dushmani hai. Bazaahir bani hai, ba baatin thani hai, ba lab dosti hai, ba dil dushmani hai. Zubaan par sana, قلب میں بدزنی ہے پسے پشت غیبت ہے تانا زنی ہے زبان پر سنا قلب میں بدزنی ہے پسے پشت غیبت ہے تانا زنی ہے یہ تہذیب نو ہے نئی روشنی ہے. I'm very tired today. We had a very long day, lots of, and therefore we'll stop here now. Inshallah we'll continue next week. But there's a change of namaz time. Now, inshallah, I think the time will be right for everybody. That we will have 5 past 8 will be azan, and 8:15 will be namaz. So everybody will finish, inshallah, in good time. That will be from Monday. Thursday will still be the same time as tonight. Make a lot of dua. Allah Ta'ala give me also the tawfiq to make amal.
Ameen.
And give you the tawfiq to make amal. Ameen. And Allah Ta'ala protect us from the fitnas. There's so much fitnas that we just don't know which way to turn. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allah hamare saghira kabira amadan khata'an zahiri batini har gunah ko maaf farma. اے اللہ ہمارے آنکھوں کے گناہ کو معاف فرما, ہمارے دل کے گناہ کو معاف فرما, زبان کے گناہ کو معاف فرما, ہمارے کان کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. اے اللہ ہر قسم کے فتنے سے ہماری حفاظت. اے میرے مولا, اے میرے آقا, اے میرے پیارے خدا, میرے رحیم کریم اللہ, save us and protect us from the different kinds of fitnas that are lashing at us. Oh my beloved Allah, fitnas from our right, fitnas from our left, fitnas from behind us, fitnas in front of us, fitnas pouring from above. Ey Allah, kidhar jaye? Who is there to protect us and save us besides you? Ya Allah, don't turn away your rahmat nigah from us. Don't turn away your glance of mercy from us because of our sins. Oh Allah, don't turn away your glance of mercy from us because of our sins.
Amen.
You dearly love forgiveness, oh my Allah. Yes. Forgive each and every one of us. Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, our family members and the entire ummah of Rasul-e-Pak. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties and hardships of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them cure. Those who are in financial difficulties and problems, give them plenty of halal wealth and remove the difficulties. Those who have got problems in their homes, oh my beloved Allah, remove their problems. Unite the hearts of parents and children, brothers and sisters, wives and husbands. Oh Allah, unite the hearts of the entire ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. جب دنیا سے جانے کا وقت آئے تو ہمارا خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما, برکت والی موت عطا فرما, حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی شفاعت نصیب فرما, قبر کے عذاب سے, دوزخ کے عذاب سے حفاظت فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. اللهم انا نسالك من خير ما سالك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, وانت المستعان وعليك البلاغ, ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد واله واصحابه اجمعين برحمتك.